Leslie Dolphin. BBC Radio
Suffolk. 22 minutes past 12. Now we've said sit, and they're on the sofa behaving themselves, wagging their tails. No, not exactly quite right. Theresa Nice, Feisty Fidos, and Sophia Taylor of On the Scent. Is that right? Have I got it right so far?
That's correct. Yeah.
So can you tell me, how is Brenner behaving? Have you got him trained yet?
No.
I think it's Brenner that's down to do the sport in a little while. So we can.
Leslie Dolphin.
Because isn't it right? And it's Barbara Woodhouse always used to say that it's actually the owners, not the pets.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is Sophia, isn't it, that I'm talking to at this moment?
Yes, it is Sophia.
I need to put labels on here. I remember which is which.
Sophia. I'm the bossy one.
Are you? Well, one of you said you don't like bossy people. Is that Theresa?
That was a little dig. Yeah.
I'm assertive.
So tell me a bit about your business, just a little bit.
Right. Well, I started quite a while ago, but actually the classes started nearly 3 years ago. And all the classes are held outdoors. We teach from puppy, as soon as they've had their second vaccination, I do apologise, right up until they're, 14 or 15, if that's what they want to do.
And you both work together, but you also both run your own businesses.
Yes, which that's
right. So we'll hear how you came to meet a little while later on. But Theresa, tell me a bit about yours, because although you look sort of slightly smaller and you're sitting back in the chair, you're the one that deals with the aggressive dogs, look.
I am, but it's not about being dominant with a dog. It's just about being calm and laid back with them, and then they relax.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because if you're aggressive towards a dog, they take it as you being another dog being aggressive towards them. They see it as aggression. So if you start shouting and having a go at the dog, they're going to be aggressive back. So you've got to remain calm, and you've actually got to show them how to behave.
So it is the owner, isn't it?
It is.
That's what you're saying, really.
A lot of times it is, yeah.
And do you ever meet owners that you just despair and think, God, they'll never get the hang of this?
Yes, definitely, all the time.
Do you ever say so?
In a subtle sort of way, yes, we do. We're quite good about the way we put things, but we meet them all the time.
And you both really care, don't you? You both really, really believe that dogs should be well behaved. And we hear so many stories these days of children attacked by dogs as well, don't we?
Yeah, that is really a big worry. But actually, Theresa and I are going to hopefully, along with some other people that we know, hold some sort of workshops for parents to come with children without dogs, so they can learn how to behave around dogs. And if they're thinking of getting a dog in the future, the children should learn how to behave around an animal, because, dogs won't just go and bite for the sake of it. But basically, if I was to punch you, Leslie, you're going to react.
I'll probably cry, actually.
Oh!
I might pinch you back.
But, if you were to do something horrible to a dog, like squeeze it too hard, then the child, that's going to turn around.
Dogs going to react,
absolutely.
Yeah. Although some don't, actually. Some dogs are really good, aren't they?
Yeah, but I still think a dog is a dog, and you shouldn't ever leave them with children unattended.
No, I agree with you as well. And it scares me sometimes as a dog owner. Sometimes children, people don't understand, they let children run up to your dog, and mine might snap, which worries me to death.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea. Train all children as well as all owners and all dogs as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So how long have you been working together? About 3 years?
Probably a couple of years, haven't we? Because I met Sophia because I phoned her about doing some agility with my dog. And we
go
had
on, tell
visions.
Me what you thought she looked like.
We had visions of what each other looked like over the phone, because we kept chatting over the phone. We got on so well.
Straight away.
And I just had visions of her being a little grey-haired lady, quite well presented, in her 50s.
And now you can describe, because this is radio, how is she? And I'm not going to attempt to describe
it. Exactly what she said. Exactly, a little grey-haired lady
no,
in my
you're
50s.
Not. No,
she looks fairly similar to me, actually. So
people
I can't
think
say
sisters,
that she's... They do, yeah, yeah, they do. So she was quite different to what
and
I
what did you think
envisioned.
Theresa would be like?
Oh dear, do I dare say on air?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be short and outsized lady with dark, greasy hair.
Isn't that nice?
And she wasn't. She turned up at the agility class and this voice said, Sophia, with this great big beaming smile and holding this little Jack Russell in her arms. I said, yes, I'm Theresa. And I went, oh, Theresa! so I said hi, you know, and she was just so lovely, and we just got on straight away.
It's funny, is it, because people listen to us on the radio, and I have lots of people come up to me at the Suffolk Show and go, oh, are you Leslie? I said, sorry. So you could put yourself out of your misery and see us on webcam, actually, because we are there, aren't we?
Yes.
bbc.co.uk/Suffolk. You sounded ever so dubious then. Right, we're going to talk lots then through the programme today about training dogs. If you want to give us a ring and I can throw questions at you, is that all right as well?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, find out how they got to do this as well, because both from Suffolk as well. But you have to answer my quickie questions now, okay? CD or iPod for your music? So let's start with Teresa, then Sophia.
CD.
Okay. No iPods?
No.
I wouldn't know how to use one, to be honest. I'm a bit behind this
Not
time.
In this modern world yet. Look. Fish and chips or Indian takeaway?
Oh, fish and chips.
Indian takeaway.
Tea or coffee?
Neither.
I'll have either, actually. I drink both tea and coffee.
Are you on a health kick?
I don't like the smell of tea and I don't drink coffee.
Okay. Watching MasterChef from the sofa or doing your own kitchen cooking?
Watching MasterChef.
Doing my own.
Doing your own. Yeah. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Wine.
Sounds like dogs and wine, yeah. Rolling Stones or Beatles?
Rolling Stones.
Beatles.
Stroll in the countryside or the pavements of a town shopping?
Oh, the countryside.
Countryside, I'll agree with you on that one.
Phone call or texting?
Oh.
Phone call.
Yes, it depends. I'm a bit sort of on the... Because texting's quite nice if you haven't got a lot to say. And, you know, where phone calls, you can have a good old chinwag. So I'm a bit on the...
No, edge. I'm not a good yak.
Both you like that.
Yeah, I know you do. We get on
it there. Takes too long to text.
Yes, I suppose, yeah, more
the
phone.
I tend to write so much.
Dog or cat?
I think we can both answer that one. Yeah. Dog.
Dogs.
I'd be surprised.
But I've got cats.
Have you as well?
Yeah, beautiful cats.
Horses?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've both got lots, haven't you? Yeah. A menagerie. We'll hear more from them then. They're both with us through the programme. We'll hear from Brenner in a bit because he's coming to pop down with all the latest sports news headlines as well. But first, here's Judy Clay along with William Bell and Private Number. This was before those days of texting. We heard earlier on you're learning the art of clicker training, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You've got a clicker.
Clicked to my heart's content, left, right and centre. I can hear the noise now. I've done it that many times.
I'll ask more about that in a minute or two. But I've had a text through from Silas to say the clicker is an excellent training tool, but watch out, Leslie, because it was originally used in America for training dolphins. Is that true?
Well, yeah, it's like
might have to try that around here then. If you want a cup of tea, just give it a bit of a click. You'll come running, two
and
sugars.
Go, yes, Brenner, anytime now, Brenner. That's Queen. We are the champions, coming around to 12:45. Bigger weather forecast for you at 10:02. Heard Steve Weston this morning on The Breakfast Show with Mark saying, ooh, maybe Monday, not going to be very nice. So we'll find out a bit more, find out what the weekend's got in store for us at 10:02. In between now and then, we're going to chat more to my guests on the sofa today. Two of them cuddling up. It's nice and cosy on the sofa there, isn't it? It's not exactly
very
made
comfy.
Not made for a lot of room, is it? It's a good job you're both quite petite, isn't it? We've got Teresa and Sophia with us. Both of them work together training dogs. Teresa Nice runs Feisty Fidos and Sophia Taylor runs On the Scent, but they do quite a lot of work together. So you got together. How did you exactly get together? You rang up because you wanted training. How did it all come
about? I rang Sophia because I wanted to do some agility with one of my dogs. And we just started chatting on the phone, really, and just got the same ideas as each other. So, because we kept chatting on the phone a lot before we actually met, my husband actually said to me, you don't know this woman, and you keep chatting to her, and you're on the phone for about an hour at a time. So then I eventually went along and met her, and we just got on like house on fire. So
you run separate businesses, but so does that mean you work together all the time, some of the time? How does it work?
We actually work together nearly, I would say, 99% of the time.
But you run your own businesses. Are they different businesses?
They are, yeah. They are separate businesses, but we tend to get different types of work coming in because I tend to work more with the difficult and aggression problems because that's what I like dealing with. And Sophia tends to get more general training inquiries, but the things do cross over, because when I start working with a dog, training comes into it, and I like to get them to a level where they can go into a normal training class, and that's where the training takes over. So it works really nicely side by side.
That's fascinating. So you get the people come to you. Let's talk clickers, because we heard a little bit that you're going to train Tilly with this clicker, and we heard you doing the clicking.
Yeah.
And Silas, lovely Silas, sent through a text saying that originally they were used for training dolphins. So no hope there.
We'll have to get one in.
Yes. What, a dolphin?
A dolphin. Got me here. Like. But I mean, just tell me what sort of methods you use. Tell me how it works then.
Right, the clicker's a little box, and when you click it, it makes a noise. And basically, if you've got to get the timing right. So like when you want, you give the dog a treat and click. So eventually they learn that clicker.
That click and treat are one and the same.
Exactly, that the reward is coming,
yeah.
You see. So eventually you'll wait for them to do something. And the easiest thing, of course, is for the dog to sit. And as soon as it sits, you click and you throw the treat on the floor to stop them jumping up if they're a jumpy dog. And then eventually, like with our pup, he's learned to go to a mat, and it's only by shaping. So it's hard to show you on the radio.
Shaping, go on, wait, and I'll try and describe what you're doing.
But basically, going back to the dolphins, if there's a dolphin wanting to go in a hoop...
Worries me, this bit.
And the dolphin was, say, 100 feet away from the ring that you want it to go through, when the dolphin looks at the ring, you would blow a whistle, because they used to use a whistle, obviously, not a clicker. But if it was, say, the dog looking at the cone, because you want it to go and touch the cone, you would click when it looks at the cone. And then eventually, as it goes to the cone and touches it with its nose, you'll click for that. And then if it touches it with its foot, you'd click for that. The behaviour you want. So with the dolphin, you're teaching it to go through a hoop. The nearer it gets to the hoop, you click.
And is the whistle the same?
That would be the whistle with, yeah. with
and
a
do you
dolphin.
Use whistles as well?
Not as in the same way as a clicker.
No.
We train all the dogs that we like, everyone who comes to our classes, to use the whistle in training, because very often a dog will range further than it's meant to. That's out of controlling distance. And if you've trained them to come back to the whistle, you're just going pip, pip, pip on the whistle, come, pip, 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 come, or not even the come, just the pip, pip, pip once it's trained, and it's going to come back. If the dog takes a while to come back, very often Joe Blogs the Public is calling their dog and it's Fido, come, Fido, come, and it's all very exciting, but then Fido doesn't come back. So it's Fido, 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 come, and it gets very, very frustrating. Where if you're using a whistle, it's the same tone all the time. So we do like everybody who comes to our classes to bring or to buy from us a whistle, and because the whistle and the body language and the commands all work together.
And what about with aggressive dogs? Do you use the same sort of techniques but one step on? How does that all work?
Yeah, actually, clicker training. I love clicker training with aggressive dogs, because some dogs that are really, really nervous, if you talk to them or you look at them, it can actually provoke the aggression. So what we try and do is when they give us the appropriate behaviour is we click. So we condition them to the clicker, like Sophia's
just explaining. So you don't need to look at them or anything?
No, because if you look at a dog that's very nervous, you can actually make them worse.
I didn't know until I took on a blue cross dog, and they make you look at a video that... Mm-hmm. That dogs, when they meet each other, they don't look at each other.
No.
And that's fascinating. And so by looking at a pair, and my dog, if we get strangers mm-hmm. come round and they look at him, he is scared. But we say, just ignore him. And after a while, he comes round and then he'll come to them on his terms. But that's fascinating, isn't it? So
yeah.
That's why, I suppose, dogs that are nervous dogs don't like being looked at, because mm-hmm. they see it as a threat.
See, I never approach a dog. If I know a dog's got an aggression problem or is nervous, I never approach the dog. I always let the dog come to me, and I stand still and I don't look at the dog. So this is where we start to work with them. And if the dog will start to approach, we can click for the appropriate behaviour, and then they'll come closer. And so we don't have to go to the dog or don't have to say anything. So not picking up anything in your voice. And this is why we use clicker training with aggressive dogs.
Why are dogs aggressive? Are some because they're frightened? Are there some that are just bad dogs?
Some dogs just haven't been socialised properly and they don't know how to behave around other dogs. They need to be taught. Because like you said earlier, if you watch a dog go up to another dog that's been properly socialised, they don't approach each other face to face. They go in a curve around each other.
And sniff each other's bottoms.
So if they haven't been socialised properly with other dogs, they don't know how to behave properly. So they might go roaring up to another dog and that dog's going to take that as aggression. So because that all sparks off the aggression, so that the dog then thinks every dog it approaches is going to be aggressive, so they then become more aggressive themselves, and that's how it escalates. So you actually have to go back to basics and teach the dog how to behave. And you can do that with the owner with the dog on a lead, or sometimes I'll use what we call stooge dogs, which we've been using with Brenner's Tilly, one of my dogs, who's very, very good. And we just have the dog walking towards him or walking alongside him, so they learn that not every dog is going to be aggressive towards them.
So do you reckon that 99.9% of the time you can work wonders with a dog? 99, 98, 97, 95?
Probably a little bit less than that. There are dogs that have really been damaged that are always going to have to be what we call managed.
I believe that. I personally, I've met a couple, I think there are dogs also that are just plain nasty.
Some dogs are actually the way they are because science has moved on, because of something that happened while they were in the bitch's womb.
And sometimes the way we breed them.
Exactly.
I think that's food for another hour. We'll do that in the next hour of the programme. Do feel free to join in if you want. You can phone, you can text, you can email. Now, if you've just joined us, let me introduce you to our guests with us on the programme again. We've got Teresa Nice, who's with us. She runs Feisty Fidos. Both of these women look after dogs, train dogs, some of them more aggressive than others. They're looking after Brenner Woolley's dog called Tilly at the moment, trying to get Tilly to stop barking. Sophia Taylor runs On the Scent, and between them they sort of divvy up the work, and it's Teresa that doesn't mind dealing with the aggressive dogs, and Sophia, who describes herself as bossy, that deals with the standard training. Is that fair?
Not quite as like that. I mean, we were saying earlier, we were discussing this, Teresa, yeah, she has to deal with, you know, she deals with all the problem dogs with bad aggression. But we do overlap because I have to understand dog behaviour to train a dog, obviously. And Teresa has got to know how to train a dog as well. So I don't have just your placid dogs. That's not exactly true.
I just see them lying there, chilling out. No, but that's not quite the way,
no,
is it?
No, I'm afraid not. I usually get the dogs that pull and won't come back.
Let's go. Are they the what are the problems? The basic most problems come to you? I mean, most of it must be people. There was somebody on the estate that I live in. I was doing a spot of shopping the other day, and suddenly this dog bounded over, and everyone was really frightened. But it just wanted to play. But would it go back to its owner? No, yeah. And it was running across the road. It was very scary.
Very dangerous. The worst thing you can do is actually chase a dog when it's running off.
Well, it's the same with children, isn't
it?
You have to walk the other way and just cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Yes, because they think it's fun. Oh, this is a game, Mummy. This is a game. But no, the main problems that I have, that we have actually for our one-to-ones is recalls, you know, dogs not coming back, dogs pulling on a lead, dogs jumping up. And basically, sometimes it's just because the owner's not exciting enough. Now, women can get the high voice, but the men, unfortunately, do have a job. And I always say to the men in class, because we always ask them to play with their dogs in the class with toys, and they can't get the high voice, so I just say, look, pretend you're wearing your partner's thong or girdle, and then they usually manage to get a higher voice. Yes, so it's, you know, Fido, come, Fido, come. But even sometimes it's Fido, come, or Fido, come, really sort of barking. I think, well, I wouldn't come to you if you called me like that. But when we do home visits, that's a different scenario. You know, it could be because people have taken on a rescue dog, and in that they've loved it too much. When you get there, you find that actually they've over-loved it, really. And, of course, now the dog thinks it's kingpin in the house. So
if you are going to go to these ladies, just to work out, you might be told you're not exciting enough. And you might be told you love too much. See, it's all the owners, isn't it? It's all the owners.
It's always the owners.
Let's talk. We'll come back to about the sort of work. We'll give you a website because you've got a website as well. So
yes,
if people are interested in finding out more, then we'll make sure everyone knows how to do that. But let's take you one at a time, if I possibly can. Let's start with Sophia. Come on, because you're the one that's chatty. You say you're bossy as well, don't you?
I am. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself. Are you originally from the county?
Yes, I am. I was born in Suffolk and to a loving family. I have a younger brother called Mark, and my mother is Italian. She was born in Borgo Mazzano in Italy.
So can you talk Italian?
Poco italiano.
Oh, God, how nice. Do you have family
ciao,
in
Leslie.
Italy?
Come stai?
Isn't ciao, it was ciao, hello, or goodbye.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, fine,
and
thank you.
And you reply,
molto bene.
Grazie.
Oh, bene grazie.
Yeah, bene grazie.
I love Italy. So yeah. Have you got family in Italy?
Not so much now. We did have, but they're all sort of pushing up the daisies now.
Can you cook Italian?
Yes.
Ooh.
But my brother's very good at cooking Italian, and my husband is very good at cooking Italian meals as well, and obviously my mother. But
see if they want to come and sit on the sofa, I think.
Oh, I think they would love that. Absolutely lovely. They
didn't,
would love it.
Didn't you do lots of gardening?
Yes, I do enjoy gardening, but, you know, I did that for quite a few years. At Ickworth Lodge, which is in the grounds of Ickworth Park, and the chap who took me on actually...
Oh, God, you've got to tell this
yes,
story.
This is absolutely true as I sit here on the couch. Lovely gentleman, he needed a gardener and I needed a job. And I applied and I rang up and I said, hello, I'm after the job. For you, he said. I said, yes, for me. He said, right, OK. So I went over, had the interview, shut the door, went away, and the head nurse told me later that the owner had said she won't last more than 2 weeks, but she had a firm handshake, so I reckon she's something to do with horses, which I was. And so he gave me on the Monday morning a fork, as in a dinner
spoon
fork,
fork,
a spoon, a fork, and one of those scoops that you scoop out grain or corn from a or flour.
No sexism then?
No sexism at all. So then I said, and these are the tools? Yes, those are the tools. And
was he serious?
He was absolutely serious. He really didn't think I was going to last.
So he didn't think a woman should be gardening, basically?
Obviously not. But we built up a great rapport with him and his partner, and we got on very well. And after a month, they actually bought me all the tools. They said, come on, you've proved yourself. Let's go over to home base and go and buy you some tools. And that's what we did. But I had, thank goodness, he started me on just a border that was very light soil, because there's no way I was going to be able to dig this ground with just these. But I thought, I'm going to stay, because I knew that there was like a bet going on. So I was going to stay, even if it was only for a month. And in the end, I stayed for over 2 years.
And you've set up this business now, but it was what originally you wanted to do. So because you went and worked at some kennels for a very short while after you left school, didn't you? Oh, was that Teresa, is it?
That was me that worked at the kennels.
I got you muddled up.
You did.
So what did you want to do when you left school?
Work with horses. That's all I wanted to do. And I did, for a month. At £10 a week, I was told I was going to have breakfast all included. And I didn't. And I thought, well, there's no way, as much as I love horses, am I going to do this from 7 in the morning till 5 in the evening for £10 a week. So I gave that up, did various jobs, worked in offices, and because I'm a great believer the work I've done in my life is helping with my business now. But worked in an office. I'm actually a qualified foundation wear consultant. So, you know, ladies...
That's underwear to you, lingerie.
Yes, lingerie. And also...
Knickers.
Knickers, yes.
Well, and Brenner will come back down again.
Yes, I'm sure he will. So, you know, I used to fit ladies with their underwear, and especially ladies actually on a more serious note who'd had mastectomies, so from West Suffolk Hospital. So, you know, that was meeting people from all walks of life. But my heart has always been working outdoors, and people just ask me, you know, oh, your dogs are well behaved. They've always seen them when they're well behaved, not now. And so it just snowballed from there and started, you know, teaching people with their dogs and went on from there.
Well, we now know that Teresa left school and went to kennels, but we'll find out more in just a minute or two. Because I always ask everyone to pick a bit of music, and one of the pieces you picked was Robbie Williams, isn't
yes.
it? Any particular reason?
No, I just think he's rather sexy.
He's lovely, isn't he? And you'd train his dog anytime.
Oh,
is that
yes.
It?
So if you're listening, Robbie, please give me a call.
Okay, Sophia and Teresa on the sofa today. Sophia runs On the Scent. Teresa runs Feisty Fido's. So we've heard all about Sophia. We've heard that you also went to kennels, first of all. So come on then, Teresa. You grew up in Ipswich, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was born in Ipswich. And
got a good Suffolk accent.
I have. Everybody tells me that. They say you're really proud of Suffolk. But yeah, I mean, I didn't like school very much, to be honest, although I got on really well. But I was always drawn to being outside. I just loved being outside. Even as a child, I can remember going round a friend's house and she didn't want to come out to play. And her mum told me this. This is when I was quite young. And I used to go around these little red wellies. And she said, you'd go out in the garden, because they had a really long garden, and just play outside with the rabbits and dig holes.
Even if
a
friend wouldn't
come
out.
Even if she didn't want to come out. Yeah, that's what made her laugh, because I just loved being outside. And then I went on to work in kennels when I left school. But unfortunately, the owners were sort of near to retiring, so they sold up and moved away. So that was pretty short-lived. And I took sort of various jobs after that and ran my own business for a couple of years. Then went and worked in an office for 5 years, and that was okay at first. But then again, I got itching to be outside again. So I took the opportunity to go back to college and do more animal qualifications, which is where I started getting back into the dog work, because I went to rescue kennels.
I think you went to the Blue Cross at first.
I did, yeah. And saw some of the problems that dogs were having there, and I thought, oh, you know, that's quite challenging. That's something I'd like to get into. So later on, you know, because I've had family and things in between, which took up quite a lot of my time, I went on to do an advanced award in canine behaviour. And that's where I come to start running Feisty Fido's.
Must be fascinating doing the training and learning all about why these animals are doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of keeping yourself safe, because I really like working around difficult and aggressive dogs, is reading what's going on with the dog. And that is the way to keep yourself safe, because you can see what's about to happen and you don't put yourself in the situation where you're a threat to the dog. And that's where you've really got to be careful. And sometimes when we go on home visits, people don't realise what they do, and they'll say, oh, my dog's just bitten, and it's never done that before. But when you go in and start asking a lot of questions, you know, they've been smothering the dog in attention, and we as humans tend to cuddle dogs a lot, and dogs don't do that. And some dogs can actually see that as an aggressive act, and they'll put up with it for so long, and then all of a sudden one day they'll turn around and they'll bite because they don't like it. And the owner hasn't seen it coming. But when we observe what's going on, if the owner does it in the home with the dog, we can see exactly why that's happened, and they don't see it, and this is where we come in, and it's just watching what's going on.
For both of you, it must be really satisfying to have dogs come to you, and the owners are really distressed because they can't get these animals to do whatever they should be doing, or they've perhaps bitten and they're worried they might have to have them put down. I suppose it gets to that stage, and it must be really rewarding to help them to understand and to get those dogs behaving properly.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of people come along who have literally burst into tears, and we've often sort of said, oh, you know, we've got to stop doing this because we keep making people cry.
Have you got one case in particular? I mean, you probably don't want to name names, but have you got one case in particular you're really proud of? I'll ask both of you, I think.
Yeah, we had a lady come with a 10-year-old terrier cross, and she was told he was dog aggressive, not particularly well trained, and she said, oh, everybody says it's a waste of time bringing him, he's 10 years old, never change him now. But she was moving away abroad and she wanted the problem sorted out before she moved. And we'd done clicker training with him, put some basic obedience in place, got him working around other dogs, put him in the normal obedience class. She's now gone abroad, she's got another dog, and he's absolutely fine. So, you know, and she was a lovely lady, and when you see them turn around like that, that is really satisfying.
Still is training the owners, isn't it, really? Oh, I have definitely. To say, it all is. And have you got a similar story, Sophia?
Nothing as exciting as that, although we were sort of joint. You did a lot of work with that dog.
But you both worked, Anna.
But Tracy did most of the work. But she came to our class. But there is a lady who now comes to agility, and she had an English Springer Spaniel, and she wasn't able to let it off the lead because she let it off once and it wouldn't come back. And this lady had been to a lot of places.
They can be Larry as well, can't they?
They can be very Larry. But I'm very pleased to say that she came to me for one-to-ones, and it took us 11, maybe 12 months, perhaps a bit more.
of just working with the dog, working with the handler, and now she can actually let it off the lead when she's out on a walk. And when she first came, we had 4 long lines on it, because you let it off in our 5-acre field and it'd be off. You wouldn't get it back. So, you know, I'm very proud of the lady, because she's done a lot of work with the dog. In fact, I know she'd already said she wouldn't mind me mentioning her name's Diane, and her dog is called Pip.
Excellent
and
news.
They're just such a lovely, you know, they really are, they've bonded now, really, and they come to agility, and the dog will, you know, do the jump, stays with her. Very, very proud.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Isn't that excellent?
Yeah.
And it must be such a rewarding relationship for both of them as well.
Well, we had one lady offer me a large sum of money if we could train her dog in a month, and the particular breed was going to take a lot longer than a month. And I said to her, look, we work with the dog and we work with you, and there's no way, even if you offered me double that amount of money, that I would personally take it. Because, you know, I can hear people saying, oh, you fool out there, but no, you know, it can take a year, it could take 6 months. This dog was only young, and there was no way in a month would I get that dog to be trained, not certainly by my methods. There might be other methods, but not by the way I would choose. You work with the dog, you get them to bond with the owner, and you know, develop like that. So we said no to that.
Should we all take our dogs to training classes? I mean, obviously, I know you're going to have a vested interest, but aside from that, can you...
In all honesty, whether people come to On the Scent, Feisty Fidos, or somewhere else...
And lots of vets have classes, don't
absolutely.
They? Puppy parties
they have
and
the puppy
things.
Parties, which I'm involved in with Swain and Partners in Bury St Edmunds. What was the question? Sorry, I'm awfully sorry to everyone out there. I'm having a blonde moment.
should everyone train their dogs if they get dogs? Yeah,
But they should all be trained and... you know, all take their dogs to training, because at the end of the day, the dogs need mental stimulation and they need physical stimulation. And regardless whether they come to us or go somewhere else, it's important that they keep their dogs in a class for at least 18 months, and also that they've got the support network of all the instructors. And also, very, very important, before you even buy your puppy, go and look at the classes that are available and book when you found the right one, because we all get booked up very quickly, and then you're going to miss out on very important socialisation and training time.
And if you've got a dog that's being aggressive, do something about it before it does something terrible, I suppose, is the message as well.
Yeah, because a lot of people tend to ignore it, thinking it will go away, or they can do something about it, or they go to general obedience classes, which really... you know, a lot of people will try and help, but they're not always suitable for those sort of dogs. They need more specialised help, and that's where we like to think that we offer that sort of service, because we will deal with those sort of dogs, which a lot of general obedience classes just don't know or haven't got the facilities to deal with.
And dog walking, look what it can do to you. Tell me, I want to know this romantic story, how you met your husband walking a dog.
Right. Little Bertie was a Lars Rapso, and where I used to live in Bury St Edmunds, I used to take him for a walk, for a very long walk, sometimes for hours on end. But on this particular day, it was a short walk, and we were walking round the estate where I was living, and he was on one of those flexi leads, which I have to say I don't like anymore. But he was on one of those, and he went round the side of the car, and I heard this voice say, "Hello, little man, what's your name?" And our eyes met, and it was Bertie sort of brought us together. But I had seen him a few weeks before after church.
Is that why you were walking in that direction?
No, not at all. But I had met him. I had seen him a few weeks before, and the lady I was with said, "Oh, he's married with children." I thought, "Oh, well, we'll leave that well alone then." But as it transpired, he had no children. He wasn't married, and we became friends. And then, well, the rest is history, really. We started to date and play squash and all those things, and then we got engaged and then got married.
That's such a nice story. Well, what happened to the Lars Rapso?
Well, Bertie, unfortunately, he had something wrong with him. They think he had a brain tumour, and he had to be put to sleep 2 years ago. But he did have major surgery when he was 8. I found him paralysed on the kitchen floor when I got home, and it was a huge thanks to the Animal Health Trust and also to Duncan Hole at Swain's, when he saw what's going on, that we went over there and they sorted him out. And they did say it could happen again. He had like a slipped, he'd got a nerve and a disc slipped in his neck. And they did all the work they had to do. And basically, he lived a fantastic life, and our German pointers were playing with him, and it was like nothing had ever happened.
And that's another story, because you're writing a book as well, aren't
I
you?
I am,
all
yes.
about life with...
It's Living with the German Shorthaired Pointer.
Which I don't... What's a shorthaired German... Are they pointer dogs
They're
that go and point?
They're a hunt, point and retrieve.
Because they do point, don't they?
Yes, they
I've
do.
I've seen them.
They hunt the game, they point it, they flush it, and then it's shot. And then they hopefully bring it back to you.
The game, it that is, not the dog.
Oh, yeah, the game, sorry, not the dog. Sorry, listeners, we don't shoot the dogs. So it's really for people who are thinking of having a German pointer and want to know all about them and don't necessarily want to go and shoot over them. And by that term, I mean taking them out on a shoot. And if they go on my website, they will see all about living with a German Shorthaired Pointer.
Okay, go on then. Tell us the website.
The website for Teresa and I is www.onthescent.co.uk. That's all lowercase, or you can email either Teresa@feistyfidos.com or Sophia@onthescent.co.uk. Again, it's all lowercase. If you have trouble, because we have had people email us and have said, oh, we've emailed you, so we thought we'd better ring because you haven't received it or whatever. If you don't get a reply within 3 to 4 working days, please ring us. Either on 01359 233049, that's for Sophia, or Teresa on 01359 252320.
Don't panic if you didn't manage to write all those down. I have got the details, and I'll make sure Suffolk Action have those. Very quickly, we've had some calls, as I knew we would. David Harvey says that, this is David from Hadley, apparently you're going round to his house on Sunday afternoon, so I assume you know that.
Yes,
you're going to do some work with Millie. Now, Millie's a cross between a Lhasa Apso and a terrier. So many crosses with terriers. They're right little rascals, aren't they? Millie was a rescue dog, and this is her fourth home. She gets ever so nervous when anyone comes round to the house. Bless her. Mm. So, first of all, when you go, you'll watch to see how she behaves, I assume.
We immediately walk in the door, we will ignore her just to see what she does. And then we let the dog settle down. But like you say, all the time we're observing what's going on. And also we're watching the owner to see how she reacts to it.
David, just watch your behaviour as well. But I imagine if she's nervous, she'd quite like you to ignore her, won't she?
Yeah, but she may be noisy when we come in. She may go and hide. I mean, all that
may
can make
growl,
a difference. Yeah, possibly. That can all make a difference in, you know, what we're actually going to do with her and what we asked David to do.
Fourth home as well. Poor dog probably doesn't know where she's coming or going, bless her.
But I think one of the problems is with people who rescue dogs.
What you say is I've got one.
The rescue dog comes into the home and they immediately feel sorry for it. So what do? They spoil the dog. So the dog gets away with a lot of behaviour that it probably wouldn't do otherwise. And that's where a lot of the problems start.
God, I'm glad I didn't bring Satsuma in today. Eric in Saxmundham has a terrier called Polly. She's not his first dog, and all the other dogs he's had have been very well trained. But Polly decides when she wants to be obedient. He can never let her off the lead when he walks her in the fields, so she'll run off for an hour or so and then come back when she likes. She's been to dog training classes, but they haven't managed to cure it. What should Eric do? Well, come and see you is what you're going to say.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I know what I would...
Quick tip. What
I
quick
would
tip?
Quickly say to Eric is, obviously, to get someone like us to come and have a look at her. But I would think that's a relationship problem between him and the dog, and that's why the dog's not coming back. And that is why the classes aren't working, because he's taking her to classes and they're not actually looking at what's going
on. What he's doing.
Yeah, between the owner and the dog, and that's why it's not working.
And that's nothing against the classes. That's because obviously in a class...
Or against the owner, really.
No. In a class, you can't give that individual tuition, and that's why we offer such a wide variety for people. You know.
How much would it cost to come and see you?
For a private lesson, it's £20 an hour for a one-to-one.
Okay. just in case. So there you go. Good luck, Eric, if you decide to go for anything. I'm going to finish with a bit of music from Phil Collins, which is Teresa's choice in just a minute or two. Keely sent me an email. She says, I'm dipping in and out of your show around the household jobs. We don't have a problem with a dog, though, but the neighbour's parrot has just learnt to bark like one. I'm dreading the summer when the doors and the windows are open. Do you train parrots?
No, but I know a lady who's got a parrot and she's brilliant. Maybe I'll give her her number.
Why True Colours and Phil Collins, Teresa?
I just really love the song, and I think sometimes when I'm driving along and I've got it on the radio, that just makes me feel really good, especially if it's a nice sunny day and I've got it blaring out. So that's just one of my favourites.
Well, thank you to both of you for coming in.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Yes, thank you.
And maybe I'll bring Satsuma along, but good luck as well with Brenna and Tilly.
Thank you.